Hey, Kentuckiana, Katie George here. How would you like to save an extra $1,000 on a brand new Chevrolet? Well, right now, Coil Chevrolet in Clarksville is offering ESPN Louisville listeners an extra $1,000 off the purchase of any new Chevy when you use the promo code COIL75. So visit coildeals.com, find your new Chevy, then mention COIL75 at purchase and save an extra $1,000. Coil, where the flag is flying and Kentuckiana is buying. Restrictions may apply. See dealer for complete details.
The teams are back in action. Get that same feeling starting a new job with UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker and take pride in a good day's work. Earn $14.50 per hour and up to $150 per week in bonuses. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville.
And you can call in, I lay back and just listen to Marcus Maven. So sit back and relax and watch Maven.
Break it down like this. Woo!
Broadcasting live from the OPC Pest Services Studio. Time for Middays with Marcus Maven on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maven and Steve Rummage.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maven. 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. I feel like I'm on a countdown. I feel like everything else is just a distraction before I can get my team down there to Atlanta against Georgia Tech. So please help distract me until then. Steve Rummage in the building. Jack in the building.
It is game week. We are a day closer to the game. It's a Friday night game, which is good coming off a bye, so we don't have to wait as long.
Wait, Steve. Just stop this.
Okay.
Just stop this right now.
I'm waiting.
Stop it, crowd. Stop
it.
You're so
violent.
Stop it, Steve. I need help today. I need everybody's help today. I need you to support me. Listen, I give you all of me on a consistent basis. I give you all of the great energy as often as humanly possible. I need you to pick me up today because I'm asking for help. Steve, Jack,
okay.
The listeners, 8150, 93.9, I'm going to need your help today.
Yeah.
Because here's the problem.
I'm listening.
I arrive at my place of employment this morning.
It's good. It's a good start to the day.
Right?
Yeah.
I get on the elevator.
Yeah. Another good start to the day.
With a young lady. Now,
okay.
At our place of employment, there's two floors. The floor you get on and the other floor.
Sure.
So I try to make a little, elevator humor. Going to first floor. Right?
Right.
Young lady says, unfortunately. And I'm like, that was just the worst transfer.
Just a lot of bad energy.
Of morning energy.
Yeah.
That I've ever experienced. I should have, in hindsight, I should have just got off the elevator, Steve.
Yeah.
I should have got off the elevator because I knew there was something about that energy transfer that I wasn't going to be able to shake.
Yeah. No, that's fair.
And now probably I'm suffering from it.
You probably should have had a restart. And I knew you were suffering when you referred to it as your blanking coffee. Or how he said, I've got to go get my, started with an F, my blanking coffee.
No, not I've got to. I was having an internal struggle. So I said, get the blanking coffee.
Yeah.
So, but you knew that I was talking to myself.
Yeah. And I was like,
you knew I wasn't. How did you not know I wasn't talking to you?
No, I just knew that you were. I was like, man, like, what's, so that's when I had to ask. I was like, what's going on, dude? Like, man, that's tough.
Damn girl.
And then you went in there and you put on Kentucky Fish and Wildlife sunglasses, and now you're wearing sunglasses, and I don't really know what's happening right now today.
Save me somebody.
Well, my son made his middle school basketball team.
Hey! Congrats,
so, yeah.
Congrats, Elijah.
Good for him.
No, he's your son. Like, you
well, said, football like, ain't it. So we're hoping basketball.
Don't sound so surprised that he made the team.
No, I mean, he's been working really hard. Like, I mean, he's gotten much better over basketball. I mean, 2 years ago, I'd have been like, there is not a chance this dude can make the team. But he's worked really hard.
It's his first tryout.
And I was very proud of him. And after the total shredding I gave him after football practice, he went home. And then I got the news that he made the team. Right. I told him, for as aggravated as we was there, we should be that much more proud of. And I told him, I said, for tonight, enjoy it. Because when you make a cut, that's a big deal. It's a big deal when you make a team.
Okay. Now you've moved me up. One energy point.
Right.
And the goal is to get me to 10.
Okay.
And I'm at 2.
Okay.
Jack.
Well, let's go to 1.5 because he still is crap at football right now. So there. We're back to 1.5.
1.5 is where we reside. Jack, tell me something about your life that may bring my energy level up past 1.5.
Ooh.
Let's see. My cousin had a baby yesterday, so the family is very excited about that.
Congratulations.
Congratulations to your cousin.
Bang!
There we go. Literally?
Yeah, that's pretty much
it's
it.
Good, it's good. I noticed you combed your hair today.
Yeah,
What's the deal with this? Well, I mean, I'm just asking.
Usually when I work in the mornings, I shower the night before, so I just literally get out of my bed and go.
Yeah.
But I took a shower this morning instead of last night. I'm sure that'll get cut for the mixtape.
That's what... Listen, how about that? You were excited enough... to come in.
I'm doing the show in the morning.
He woke up this morning. He was like, all right, maybe the show.
It's no like, joke in there. Let's get ready.
Like, let's jump in there. He got a shower. Like, I like that. Look, that's to move you up a little bit. Jack was excited and prepped to come in.
2.5.
Yeah.
Then Texter comes in. What's the problem with this text, Steve?
Give Maven a hug.
I can't do that. This is COVID season. I can't even get a nice personal hug because of COVID season. No, hey, I need positivity. Listen, yesterday was the setup when I said on the text message, it's okay to text in when the sound is perfect or when Jack is doing a great job or when Steve really just nails a point. It's okay to say
good job. Y'all did good.
Okay, so where do we go
from here? Just text in at some point in the middle of the show and say, hey, Jack's doing a great job running the board today. It don't always have to be like, oh, sounds bad. Like,
I hate that song.
Hey, Jack, you really hit all those breaks today. It was
right.
Good job.
Yeah.
Like those Peyton Manning commercials where he's like, cut that.
Yes.
Yeah, like, okay, man, just give him props.
A little over 24 hours.
What am I going to do with this? I was clicking all over your laptop, and a little over 24 hours until we stomp Georgia Tech. Get maybe a vodka.
Oh, I don't want a vodka.
Now we're back to one. This is ridiculous.
Is this the best y'all got? I'm starting to learn why y'all need me.
This is terrible.
I'm starting to learn that our transfer of energy goes one way.
But we are a little over 24 hours from the game. So getting back, that must be an old text. Getting back to football here. So today's Wednesday. Today is kind of like Friday.
Which Wednesday? Phil?
Yep.
Phil? Not today. I'm at a 3 now.
Ah, there we go. Phil, we don't need any of that 12:05 bull crap. Hey.
Which Wednesday can get me to a 3?
You say 11:45 in the email. I mean, excuse us for expecting 11:45.
And you can get a large witch for just $6.80.
I know. And well, I'll give you
mentioned ESPN Louisville.
I'll give you all that info here in just a little bit. Most people can recite it by now, I would imagine. I probably could.
I enjoyed watching the Lakers last night for.
Yeah. Lakers got a W last night. Looked good.
I enjoy it.
That was. I do too.
Listen, and in all honesty, I'm ready for the bubble to be over with. I'm starting to feel bad for them. And you know who it is? It's Jimmy Butler.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
looks like an insane man. Not insane man, but he looks so angry and agitated.
Yes.
Right? And like he looks like, you know what he looks like? He looks like he is the only one that doesn't want to go home.
Yeah, that's fair.
Right? Like he's playing like he's the only one that does not want to go home.
Yeah.
I just watching him like twist on his mustache, it's just like, dude, y'all have been in this bubble for an extremely long time. Like this was a major, I bet if you suggested a bubble for them, most dudes would retire.
You know what it kind of reminds me of, and I know this is a terrible comparison, but like a jury who gets caught up for a long, long mm-hmm. time. I mean, obviously your mind goes to the OJ trial because that's the most famous jury, but like a jury it's like, dude, and they get put up. And the reason it made me think of the OJ trial is watching those things where they were like, dude, they wouldn't let them watch TV. They couldn't watch the news. They couldn't watch nothing. Because it was like, dude, you can't be persuaded at all. So it was like, I mean, of course it's not that bad, but it's like, man, they've been kind of through it, man.
Yeah, I know. Just like I again in the what do you call it, just in the respect for a 3-4 month bubble. When did they first go in there?
Middle of July.
Yeah,
August, September, October.
Man, it's about 3 months, man.
Golly.
Yeah, about 3 months.
Yeah, and they started quarantining like right at the beginning of July.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, goodness gracious.
Texter says everything sounding good.
Ah, great.
Thank you. Somebody's a Dodgers fan. Congrats to the Dodgers. They won last night.
Yeah, that doesn't cheer me up.
No, but somebody it should cheer you up that somebody's happy. I mean,
Steve, I said this is about me today. It's about us today.
Somebody said you just ruined my mood. I thought it was Thursday. It's Wednesday. okay. Let's see. How about AD take Jimmy on the defensive end of the court? Why? LeBron's doing it. Don't need AD to do it.
LeBron can guard him.
Yeah. So there's that. Speaking of bubbles, Jack, did you play your Sports Center before the show today?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so Jack said in the Sports Center that John Rothstein's reporting that Louisville we have three teams. I think Matt Norlander said three. A possible fourth, but a potential fourth in Western. The three teams, according to sources, tell Jack Grossman, according to him, is Winthrop, Duquesne, and UNC Greensboro. And then Matt Norlander said that
2.5
Western is the other possible team for that bubble that'll be played November 25th through December.
I knew I was in a bad mood. Not a bad mood. I knew something wasn't right with the universe because even when I hear Duquesne, Winthrop, and UNCG, I'm just like I'm in a bad mood, right? That puts me in a bad schedule mood because it's like, dude, when I hear about bubble news, when I hear about basketball, I want to hear about juicy matchups, right? Like just current mood, right?
It's like I want to hear more of Gonzaga and Iowa that get scheduled last night.
But that was good too. Gonzaga's playing Baylor too, but to be fair, Gonzaga, they're in a weird situation where like they have to get like all the games they can.
Yeah, I mean, even in a normal year, Gonzaga has to do that because of the West Coast Conference. But I mean, even Baylor is going out; they're playing freaking everyone also.
But but here's the thing. The intelligent person in me instantly knew what this deal is. You said it in the back, and you knew it was the truth. You said, this is about par for the course when you're doing, just invitations.
Well, you're looking at the other MTEs. I mean, that's about the same.
And you're footing the bill for everything, right?
Sure.
Bringing in, listen, you don't treat UNCG the way you're going to treat UNC. When you're footing the bill.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
no, absolutely.
You throw something together.
Even Cincinnati, you know, like that's what me and Jack were talking about. Like, you know, some of you were thinking maybe some of the local teams get involved, you know, Cincinnati, Indiana, Louisville, something like that, where you're Memphis. Like, okay. Memphis would have been another one, something like that. But that even. So I'm just saying you don't even have to go to UNC. You know, right. Like we can.
Yeah, your finances.
Indiana would be on that level, right. But I mean Cincinnati and Memphis.
But yeah, Indiana's going to want a cut.
That's what I'm saying. Indiana's probably on the UNC level of like, yeah, no, you're going to have to split with them.
Yeah, right. Our TV deal is bringing in just right, or whatever. Sure. You know, however we work this out, we want to cut.
Mm-hmm.
UNCG, just sit down somewhere and we'll.
We're going to put you in the Hampton over here, and, you know, it's nice.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, we'll get you together.
Yeah. Like, and then we'll, you come in, you play. Yeah, so, but, I'd be lying if I said I knew, but according to Goodman, he said Greensboro's one of the top mid-majors this year. So, I mean, that may give you a little pushback there to watch. And I think adding if Norlander.
I just don't want to waste bubbles and tournaments and
but you're doing what everybody else is doing though, so you can't really complain about it. I mean, if everybody else's bubble was awesome, I mean, but like we were talking about Duke has Howard and Bellarmine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I like that, but I mean that's comparable to what we're doing, you know. I mean, so
YouTube says that damn girl. It says why not add Bellarmine to the bubble. And back to our shower time debate.
I think it'd be really good to have Bellarmine in the bubble. I wish Louisville would have Bellarmine in the bubble. I don't know if it conflicts with what Bellarmine's doing with the Duke bubble, but do you remember from UNC Greensboro? This has to be at least 10, 12 years ago now, and I just Googled his name just by Googling UNC Greensboro really tall basketball player.
I think he was Asheville. That was Asheville.
Was it Asheville?
It was Asheville.
I did Greensboro, and it popped up.
But, yeah, look up Asheville.
Kenny George, 7'7".
Yeah. No, he was Asheville. He was Asheville.
That's
but,
right.
But yeah, but that. Well, that's the thing though. Some of those schools, your UNCGs, your UNC Ashevilles. UNC Asheville. I mean, that's where you get Dwayne Sutton. You got Macy O'Teague, who's
the one dude, like top 15 scorer, out of Louisville all time.
Well, I meant out of the school.
Oh, yeah, Marcus Mayfield from Asheville. Yeah.
Listen, I meant out of the school UNC Asheville, right?
Okay, I'm up to a 5 now, Steve.
Yeah, no, it's fair. But I would
Kenny George has his own Wikipedia page, by
oh,
the
yeah,
way.
Oh, yeah, no, he's
phenomenal.
He was a freak. Yeah, yes. They played here at Louisville.
Yeah, I know. They made David Padgett like he was 5 feet tall.
Oh, I know. Yeah, no, it was insane.
And they'd throw him alley-oops and he wouldn't jump.
I know. No, it was nuts. It was like playing the year we played UC Irvine in the first round, and they had the NJI. Dude.
Bombadil and Judge.
Yeah, and he was massive. And you're like, dude, we're going to roll UNC Irvine. But then you realize when you got a 7'6" guy that can kind of move, it causes a lot of problems.
That's when I first started. Like here's the thing. I knew that back then.
Yeah.
I knew that back then.
I know. We almost lost that game.
I know that, yeah. Steve. Like, listen. What the hell you think my Taco Fall thing is all about? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't care what you say. You think Taco Fall could help Miami?
Probably right now. probably could help a little bit at least.
You don't think Taco Fall could help Miami?
I said yes. I said probably.
No, I was saying that kind of.
No, yeah. No, yeah. I think
but is he better than Anthony Davis?
Oh, no. No, but I mean, well, to be fair, though.
It's still got a long way to go.
No. Wait a minute. I remember that now.
Let the cake bake.
Okay, yeah. That's going to be a long cake. Yes, if Anthony Davis passes before Taco Fall, you could technically say Taco Fall is better than Anthony Davis right now. But you have, in that game, though, man, you had NJI, and I mean, we had Trez. I was like, dude. Remember Wayne went right up into NJI, got that and-one. I was like, oh, thank you, Wayne. Terry. Just he would just swallow Terry up, and just like flicking it up, trying to get it. But I think you have that. You have those three teams. I really hope because it's obvious for whatever reason.
Are they not
playing Bellarmine?
Is he bringing in those teams so we can target one of your grad transfers?
Man, I mean, that's not a bad thought. It's not a terrible thought. But of course, now we talked about yesterday. If this rule passes and eligibility. Is granted to basketball players, that means something for Louisville next year. I mean, you've got three guys that would have a decision to make now in Malik, Carleek, and Menlin. So, I mean, that would definitely make a big difference, you know, as far as looking at the roster. So, Because David, it's not going to matter to him. And Sam, if he decides, whatever he decides, doesn't matter to him. He can come back if he wants to either way. But yeah, I think you do those three and you get Western in there. I'm pretty happy with that.
Western would save my mood.
Yeah.
I will say that.
Yeah, I'd be happy with that.
Yeah, getting Western Kentucky in this bubble.
Western's got a pretty good team this year, man.
And play them.
Of course, they do every year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right, they always have a good team.
They take their basketball serious.
And then
they just... Greg Moneyshine Stansberry?
Listen. We have our fun with Rick Stansberry on this show.
I'm kind of deflated by it. When I saw it, it was like, because Louisville was like the first team out of anyone to say, okay, we're doing this non-conference bubble.
Yep.
So I wasn't expecting,
Kentucky
or Indiana. And I wanted Indiana to be in it, but it conflicted with them being in the Maui. So I was disappointed from that standpoint. But I was holding out hope that they would get a Cincinnati, get a Memphis, maybe, even a Marquette, something that would be kind of regionalized with some good, not great teams, but to where you would get some of these sexier matchups instead of, Western Kentucky being the headliner. Yeah, that's fine, but I'm kind of deflated that Western Kentucky would do that.
Here's the thing: you're looking out for the best interests of you as a fan, right?
Yes, Louisville wants.
Right. I mean, just financially, it doesn't make sense. There's a battle over every inch of ground as far as recruit, as far as perception of program dominance. If I'm Marquette or Cincinnati or Xavier, anybody competing for recruits in this region, I'm not going to bring my school to Louisville's bubble. So we sit around and look at Louisville Yum Center, Cardinalburg Court. If I'm anywhere in the level of competing with Louisville for a recruit, there's no way I'm bringing my team in there. I'll host my own bubble, or I'll go somewhere where there is no loose. The situation isn't so close to
But how does that hurt by bringing your team to there? Like, you're not bringing the recruits to the Louisville bubble. It's just your current guys that are already on the roster to the Louisville bubble.
No, you're bringing your brand to Louisville, and you're okay, Louisville's the first idea. They were the first suggestion, right?
Right.
Okay. Oh, Louisville's, basically mapped out, how we're going to do, Louisville set the blueprint for how we're going to do bubbles moving forward. That means something. You know what I'm saying? It's a national perception. Okay, Louisville, they said they're going to do a non-conference. Okay, let's take their template and bring it here. It's the same reason people screenshot you and take your memes instead of sharing your memes or retweeting your stuff. I don't want you to have credit for it. I'm going to take your idea and take credit for it.
Well, you're talking about your... Jordan.
No, I really wasn't, but
no, but there was there. I agree. I agree with that. I just think nowhere, the reason it doesn't bother me is because I just nowhere is doing it.
And there's still the ACC schedule thing, and I hate it when Coach Pitino did it when he knew he had a tough conference schedule, and I'm Denny Crum era guy, so.
That's why you should be not just relied to the because you are Denny Crum era guy where Denny Crum would go out and play literally anyone and everyone and it would be a lot of fun.
But my thing is though nobody else is. So it's like that's why I don't
bother
me.
Maybe if Louisville does it, maybe it becomes a trend.
Well, now that's fair. That's fair. I mean, if Louisville beefed up a bubble, maybe you could. Okay, I could play that game. I can see that. Like if you want to do that.
In 2020. Louisville with a Coach Crum schedule, and
it would be the Gonzaga schedule.
Yeah.
No, Gonzaga schedule's not like that.
I mean the Gonzaga non-conference schedule.
Yeah. Because they do play a lot. They do well at playing.
But they never play anybody in conference, so it's 20.
Yeah, I mean that's
there's
true.
22 games of wasting people. So if you get 6 games that are decent in non-con, and your entire conference schedule was, trash.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like I said, being Louisville, I could see you go, like I said, you have the number one schedule in the nation. You lose 10 games. And in 2020, you're an 8-9 seed.
Right.
You could literally have Coach Crum if he loses 10 games with the number one schedule in the nation, if he's on a winning streak late season, he's going to be a 3 seed or a 4 seed.
Right, right.
And he's going to be everybody's dark horse to win the national championship. I just think in 2020, it's so many ways to penalize your losses.
I think that says more to do, if anything, about Chris Mack. I'm not saying this is slight to Chris Mack. I'm saying he doesn't have the respect yet as a coach that Denny Crum or even Rick Pitino had when they were at Louisville, to where Mack, while he's a really good coach and has the potential, if everything goes correctly, to get to that point, isn't at the level of where, like, oh, Denny Crum or Rick Pitino, that's one of the top guys that you always have to look out for when it comes to the tournament.
Do you know what I think part of the problem is, too?
It's different, man.
Is college basketball, when it's played, I just don't think early season wins and losses, I don't know that it matters. I mean, I guess at the end of the year.
They have. I mean, a good example is the Trae Young Oklahoma team.
Yeah.
To where the NCAA Selection Committee used to really value how a team was late in the season, and they would have that last 10 games graphic. Now they've really emphasized the full body of work type thing. I don't know whether which way is right or wrong. But,
yeah, sure.
But,
yeah, sure.
But they've made a point in weighing in those early November, December games as much as they do with the late games, to where if you get a couple of big early wins, that really does help you. That helped Louisville a couple years ago. They had that Michigan
it
State.
Should.
Yeah.
It should. I agree.
It should. But just over the last five,
I just think
seven,
you forget so much about them, man.
Right.
And it's just like, oh, yeah, that game happened.
Yeah, like you don't bring up the Maui Invitational big win early in the year.
Louisville fans had penciled themselves into the Sweet 16 a couple years ago, Jack, because they beat Michigan State in November.
Jack, how many texts have you gotten from Andy so far this morning?
From Andy, none. From Mitch, like 3.
He said, none. From Mitch, like 3. And again,
Jack, you know I knew you were getting shadow produced, right?
I was not, actually. This was me on my own. Mitch is just texting me to mark stuff.
Listen, I think that here's my thing, though.
That's why I had that conversation about Brian yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
You're not producing someone else's show. You are producing Middays with Marcus Maben. Golly, do your own producing. Go ahead.
I just think here's the problem, though. I think that early in the season, I think that basically – now, fans, yes, may be excited about it. But I don't think that they really play into your
seeding.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, okay, maybe you say, oh, yeah, they had that win back in November.
So is this when we go back to the natural thing that everybody hates when a coach says, okay, my job is to win a national championship, not –
Yeah. I mean, did anybody give a crap that Duke beat Kentucky by 700 points at the end of the year? Kentucky was a 2 seed. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Duke beat them by 50 on night one.
It was a fun game to watch.
It was awesome. I loved it. I was a fan of it. I thought it was the greatest thing to ever watch. I mean, when you watch Zion Williamson just take the ball out of dude's hand and just, you know, and it was like, I mean, Kentucky was a 2 seed
that
year.
Was that against Kentucky?
Yeah. Where he went up and he blocked him and he just took the ball. Yeah, I was like, golly. Yeah, no, it's like, dude.
I tell you what, let's take our first one. Commercial break, Middays with Marcus Maben on 939 The Ville.
You're listening to Middays with Marcus Maben, broadcasting live from the OPC Pest Services Studio on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maben and Steve Rummage.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maben, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. So, Steve, is LeBronny in so much trouble when he gets home? When LeBron gets home,
probably, yeah.
Is this one of those things? I'll talk to you when I get.
Yeah, look, I got to win an NBA title, and then when I come home, we're gonna talk about your Instagram video. Yeah.
So okay, we have Coach Brown.
Yeah.
Talk to the media. What answer? What question would you have wanted to ask Coach Brown yourself individually? Had you been on that call?
Oh, man. If I had been on Coach Brown. Well, because, I mean, listen, it's a little different vibe.
Actually, publicly and privately. Give me one of each.
Well, privately, I would want to know probably who was, because he mentioned Marlon Character looking so good in practice last week. Mm-hmm. And I thought Marlon Character had a pretty good game. Mm-hmm. I'd like to know, okay, who's kind of, that guy this week?
For Georgia Tech.
Yeah. So, because the thing with Brown, Coach Brown, is it's a little different because I think the tougher questions I would want to ask would be to Satterfield, Coach Satterfield, because, it's like the defense.
So you want to improve. You want to ask Satterfield a public and private question and then we go to Brown or Brown first?
No, I mean, Brown's fine. Mm. Start there. I mean, okay. that's who we had last night.
81-50, 93-9. Feel free to jump in on this one. 38-31, 93-9 is the text line. When it comes to Coach Brown, public question, private question?
Oh, man. Well, that would be my private question.
Yeah. Who's having a good week?
Yeah. I mean, publicly, probably be one of those things with, as far as how much.
But that's like a public question, though.
Yeah.
Who's had a good week?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what privately I would ask. I mean, like what?
Like so if you could get him true, like a truth serum kind of question.
Yeah, I mean,
where you could get him to divulge something that you know.
Yeah, would I say maybe just hey, was the Miami game was that strictly just a breakdown of a couple dudes that just didn't know where they were at or what? You know, I mean, maybe that would be the case.
Texter says privately, is it scheme or talent?
Yeah.
With truth serum.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be fair.
But, I mean, even with truth serum, he believes it's talent.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'd say also.
Every coach would, I guess.
Well, maybe you ask, is Coach Satterfield talked about Minkins and a few of the young guys?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
is that a bad sign?
Is it a bad, or is it a sign of, listen, I've got young guys that can play. They're just not ready to play yet.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's the case.
Hmm. Publicly, if we're talking Coach Brown, publicly, I'm on the conference call. I ask, publicly, I would ask Coach Brown, publicly, I guess. You can talk about game plan. He laughed during the press conference when he was asked about picking up more blitzes.
Right, right, right.
Cool. He was asked about, blitzing more. He kind of held the same, you got to get off the field. There's a right time. Basically, there's a right time for everything.
Yeah, No, he did. And he kind of touched on, and Jack, I may go to this number three here. Because he kind of touched on a little bit about what would – because the defense, I think a lot of people feel like improved from the Miami game, which was really bad. So
improved in positioning or physicality?
I thought both. I mean, Isaiah Hayes come up and made some pretty good plays.
Hit that three.
They've improved, and we've done some different things in practice, just try to eliminate mistakes. That's guys, as soon as they make a mistake, they position guys, they make sure that they give us some push-ups, So we're trying to get some competition and stuff going with that, and then eye control. That was a big thing with us in the Miami game, and just eye control. If I'm guarding a guy, that's my guy, and I got to get my eyes on him. And not, in the one big long run, we can't spin in the run game up front.
Is that discouraging?
A little bit, because it's like there's a lot of stuff there when he's using words like can't. what I'm saying? Like where I don't like to hear, because it's almost like that to me is a little bit where he's like, dude, look, there's certain places I just can't do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's not a we need to improve. That's a hey, I can't do this, this, and this.
See, what caught the discouraging part that caught my attention on that is when you say, okay, like, you didn't have a lot of freshmen out there,
Yeah.
You know, what we were excited about is second year and same scheme.
Yeah.
This is what they were missing. And for you to talk about, your eye discipline, we should be past that.
Yeah. I mean, that's simple stuff, man.
You're right, right. Yeah. I mean, that's
and that's stuff that you worry if you haven't got it by now, you may not get that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah. So now when I hear eye discipline from my older guys, then it's like, okay, I know my younger guys may have a little more talent. Again, we're saying this because the recruiting is one of the higher ranked classes ever.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So it says you have talent. You have some guys on that team, some young guys who know what they're doing.
Sure.
I do this with Malik. I do this with all players. If you're not getting it,
yeah.
If you're not getting it with fundamentals like that, we got to see these young guys.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. So that'd be something you'll be looking for. That's what a lot of the text line, you know, somebody said they want to see the young guys this week. Somebody said, how are the freshman and sophomore class developing? I mean, people are wanting to, it looks like on the text line, I think people are expecting this to maybe be a game or, you know, maybe, and not even so much what the score is, that you give some of these younger guys a shot.
Is that just the, I don't like the product defensively, or is that the, no, I want to know how they're doing.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both, but I mean, I don't think people were terribly upset after Pittsburgh defensively. I mean, you held them 23 points. I mean, and one touchdown was, you know, you didn't finish the play. Just finish the play. I mean.
So it wasn't a bad performance. It wasn't a terrible performance.
No, not defensively. Offensively, it was. You can't have that many weapons only score 20 points.
What is the Georgia Tech spread? Jack, do you know what?
Louisville by 4.5.
By 4.5? Interesting.
What do you make of that?
I mean,
a little high, a little low, just right.
It's probably about right going down there. I mean, after, you know, Louisville's 1-2.
So it's a 2 point. It's the 2 point.
Up to 5.5 now, actually.
Up to 5.5. So
that means people are taking Louisville.
Yes.
61% of the public betting's on Louisville per CBS.
I think you would take Louisville in that game because, I mean, you look at Louisville's losses to Pitt and, you know, in Miami, you look at Georgia Tech's losses, you know, they've beaten Florida State by 3, lost to Syracuse and UCF. Of course, UCF's top 15 team, you know. Syracuse is not. They're the opposite of a top 15 team.
Lawrence, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away.
There were two things I will ask Coach Brown. What quarterback did you see running with the first team? And are y'all going to blitz more on third down?
Now, Lawrence, I appreciate the call.
So Lawrence would basically ask Brown, like, he would go behind Satterfield's back, pretty much.
So does Lawrence want to bring Third and Grantham back? Is that what I'm hearing?
I think that's what it's. Listen, I'm very touchy with that too. When people say that, like, wow, just blitz. Well, okay. I mean, yeah. If it was that easy, they would just line 11 dudes up on every play and just say, look, we're gonna take a shot. Everybody, go try to get them. If you don't get them, it's a touchdown.
I will say against Pittsburgh, when you're playing a guy like Kenny Pickett, who's a statue back there, it makes more sense.
You could go.
And in that Miami game, you don't want to blitz Derek King. He's just going to circle out and rush for, you know, 65 yards.
Yeah, yeah.
And don't plan on seeing blitzes because he compared Sims to Derek King.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, different level. But, I mean, Sims can move, you know. He's not necessarily looking to throw – you know, so yeah, so it's one of those deals where you probably won't see a ton of that again. But I did think it was funny. He said, Lawrence said, hey, so who was playing quarterback?
Right? Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to ask you.
Which quarterback is hard to go against in practice?
Yeah, yeah. which isn't bad. You know, the 2-2 catch in the back of the end zone.
Privately, I would say, how many cornerbacks or DBs can hold somebody one-on-one?
Yeah. Look, another texter privately, which quarterback did y'all practice against the most this week?
No, I would literally say, how many guys can cover?
Yeah.
I want to know that.
Yeah.
And I, like, truth serum, listen, There's no cameras. There's no recordings. We left our phones out, you know, at home. You need to tell me right now.
Well, I think he tells you weekly when he backs his corners off the ball, 10, 15 yards.
But is it just one? Because here's, you know what I'm saying? Like, if the safety play is not great, then you can't, you still can't, you know. Like, there's, it doesn't have to be just the corners who can't do their job.
Sure.
You might be able to say, listen, my front four cannot get to that quarterback in enough time. Because no cornerback can guard triple routes.
Right. Right.
You know, so maybe he would say that. Maybe he would say, well, we go into prevent because we're not confident we can get anywhere close to a quarterback.
No, I know.
Or he would say, hey, 4 seconds we can get to a quarterback and I need my guys to.
I mean, are we saying that the problem is there? Because, I mean, I think the line defensively, you're getting a little more push. Saw a few more times, saw some defensive linemen make some moves, you know, get some pressure. It's like linebackers, I think, are solid. I don't think anybody's ever thought they weren't solid. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, are we kind of saying, okay, the issue is in the secondary? I mean, is that where we're settling in on? Like, it's a secondary issue from here?
Yeah, see, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the question. So maybe because, I mean, I thought the defensive line is getting better. I mean, small sample size. I mean, we saw 3 games. But, I mean, I think they're getting better. I think you're getting more push up front.
Okay, if you just a quick comparison in thought. North Carolina State's defensive line versus ours. Whose would you rather have?
Man, probably just from watching that game the other day, probably Carolina State. Yeah, NC State's, and they look tough. I mean,
they look kind of stout.
Yeah, they look stout back there. But I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't know enough about the personnel, you know, or the call there, whatever.
But it looked like they were holding their own.
Yeah.
With just four.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what I'm saying. I mean, we need more. Yaya Diaby has shown in a few games lately. Actually, all 3 games, he's had a few plays where he's made a move, a one-on-one move, went to the backfield, made a play.
Okay, what do you think about the statement we heard about Yasir Abdullah? Actually, you do have that. That's two, Jack. Go ahead and hit that one. This is like some kind of might catch your attention.
He's studying the game a whole lot better and understanding, you know, what the offensive tackles like to do in passing situations. So his studying habits, as well as his physical ability, another year in his defense, and just another year older as well, has helped him become a pretty dynamic football player for us. So hopefully we can get him out there on the field a little bit more.
Yeah.
That was also added that he was – splitting reps with Nick Okeke.
Uh-huh.
Where do you stand at, Steve, on special teams? You're a big time player on special teams.
Well, I like it. It doesn't bother me. Mm-hmm. I like playing. I'm in that wheelhouse of playing my ones sometimes. Just, you know, not all of them, but playing some ones on special teams.
Just play them.
Yeah, because I think I put my best players on the field. Like, you know, and I mean, if I got guys that can run and tackle, I'm gonna play them. Like, because a kick return can cost you the game, especially in a game like Friday night. I mean, you've got Gibson back there. He returns kicks and returns kicks well. So it's like, yeah
you, for,
know,
for
you can
game.
Lose a game or something like that. On
for
that.
A game like this, you have to you have to play him, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm putting guys there that can get guys down, man. Like, sorry. No, 100%. So, yeah, that doesn't bother me at all. I mean.
I need Trinnell back on special teams.
Yeah, well, he's not coming back. He's dead now. So, get that going. But, yeah.
That totally put my theory to rest, didn't it?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Race Ball, and I was wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the last thing he needed was a child.
Yeah.
Yeah. While he was here.
I have confessed. Yeah.
I lost Race Balding. And he'd been home with his kid instead of playing. So, yeah, we'd have had that going for us.
We sound so hard, yeah. Don't we? Yeah. Yeah. Like,
can you imagine that team?
Hey, don't run around like being a good dad or anything.
I know.
You got a game to win.
I know. The team didn't make the tournament. You imagine what they would have done without Ray?
Got to keep your priorities.
Oh, my God, dude. Without Ray, that would have been a CBI team or something.
Would have been an Archie Miller team.
Oh, I know, dude. Oh, my gosh. It would have been It would have been rough. No, Archie beat them that year, didn't he?
No, that was the year that they played in the Yum Center, and it was like a four-point game with 2 minutes left, and neither team wanted to win, and they just kept playing terrible offensive shots.
Malik hit those threes, didn't he?
What's your cross-section Ray Spalding moment?
What, as far as?
Just you know how you always think of a play when you think of a player?
With Ray Spalding?
Yeah.
I don't know if I have one. Probably him playing defense at the top of the zone. Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and knowing we got a guy that can really that can really sit down on somebody. You know what mine is?
I'm listening.
When he started getting angry and he gets that right hand jump hook in the middle.
Yep.
And you could tell he turned into a different person.
Oh yeah.
Like when he started getting mad at everybody.
Well, a lot of times Ding a Dale. Which was fun to watch.
I will never be able to thank ESPN Louisville, Kenny Klein, you know, like to sit under that rim and watch Ray Spalding get angry at his teammates. I mean, you literally watch like, you remember like Superman, like changing in the chamber. Like you watched him metamorphosize right in front of you. Like one day he was kind of happy-go-lucky, right? And then one day it was like, give me the ball. Shut up. I'm not playing around with any of y'all. Like, I bet that day he just stopped even hanging out with them guys.
Yeah. Yeah, he was mad. He was mad.
That was great to see up close.
It was awesome. It was awesome. So, yeah, I don't know. Text line here real quick. Get a few of these in before I know we got to go to break. Says, we can't blitz because the secondary can't hold up man-to-man. Imagine the score if we had a head coach with Lawrence's mentality.
You run up some numbers.
Two plays. Hail Mary, all-out blitz. Play the whole game like that. I love it. Our run defense is solid, but the coverage team is middle school. So I think what I'm saying is I think people are settling on that's a good point here. I'm just 2 years, and just 2 years of coaching, Coach Brown goes from sounding like a young man to a grandpa. You pointed that out at how bad his voice was. He must have been losing his mind at practice this week.
Play that clip again and listen.
Listen, number two, Jack.
Listen to the pain in this man's voice.
He's studying the game a whole lot better and understanding, you know, what the offensive tackles like to do in passing situations. So his studying habits, as well as his physical ability, another year in his defense, and just another year older as well, has helped him become a pretty dynamic football player for us. So hopefully we can get him out there on the field a little bit more.
Coach Brown, get a speech and language pathologist to protect your voice.
Yeah.
They will help you with the key words that you can't scream at those kids.
Oh, can you imagine the stuff that he was screaming to have a voice that sounded like that?
Good rebuttal, Texter.
It is allergy season. That's fair.
I don't think that's allergies.
No, that sounded like a man who has just been like, what did he say in that video? The preseason video, ESPN or ACC network we had last year.
Oh, no, I don't remember.
When everyone got mad that they cut it off to like play some old Florida State game.
Yes, I was fired up about that. But no, he screams something in that, and he's like, I told you, or something. Mm.
No,
it was awesome. It was awesome because I remember we pointed out.
What you're talking about now, but I can't remember what he said.
When we pointed it out, we were like, dude, he's a psychopath. And I love it. Which, by the way, let me point this out too. Reading the bracketology, the early bracketology, you do got Western, and there's a 12, Winthrop, and there's a 14. I mean, look.
They're tournament teams, is what you're saying.
These are tournament teams, man. So, I guess you can't be too mad.
Who was in the Maben Invitational Tournament?
UNC Greensboro is a 12.
Do you remember?
No. The what?
The Maben Invitational
Tournament. Oh, no, I don't remember. Austin, Asheville?
Austin Peay. St. Louis. Would you take that?
Yeah. It's got Louisville as a 6 seed, by the way.
Will you sign up for that right now?
Yeah.
Quick commercial break. Top of the hour commercial break. Yeah. Middays with Marcus Maben on 939 The Ville.